to the second hour of A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Today is August the 17th. There have been 227 days passed behind us, and there remains 136. Can't believe the August has already half gone. Seemed like it was just August the 1st yesterday.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Wasn't. I know, but it wasn't. Oh, my. Well, like I said, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Please do not forget this precious information I'm trying to give you. Download a free app on any electronic device, iPhones, cell phones, laptops, computers, Chromebooks, whatever electronic device you have, where you can download apps. You can find this in your, what is that called, free store? I think that's what it's called. The name of the app is called TuneIn, T-U-N-E-I-N. That's the name of the app. Once you, your Play Store, once you download that, please search WWGH. Now, this app is free, but it will be essential for you to listen to our many talk show programs we have to offer you. Okay? So, it's very important that you write down that information. Okay? If you would like to be a part of this show, you have some questions, you'd like to make some comments, write down this number, 740-383-9944, and we can listen to your questions, okay? So, love for you to be a part of this program. Let me share with you those who faithfully support the Voice of a People, beginning with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, location 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, phone 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement for Logos Ministries, free produce every third Saturday of every month. This one will take place this Saturday, August the 20th. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please share this information with others you may know that need, that you may know of that need free produce. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio, phone there 740-262-0939. Now Cheryl Lee will be my guest tomorrow, Thursday, from 10:15 until 12 noon. So tune in and listen with her. She is the program director for, coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship here in Marion, Ohio, after school programs in our Marion City schools. So you will enjoy hearing from her tomorrow. So mark that on your calendars or mark down that I'm going to listen to A Voice of the People tomorrow at regular time. I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. Well, let me give you a couple more announcements first. Caledonia, Ohio has been on the map for entertainment. They do have a farmer's market every Saturday from 10 to 1 p.m. August the 20th at 4 p.m. That would be also this Saturday. Marion Area Strings, George Schramm is conductor. He will be playing music in Caledonia. Tunes at Paradise, Saturdays in August. Address 1536 Whetstone River Road, North Caledonia, Ohio. Paradise.org if you need more information about that. And write this down, August the 27th at 5 p.m. The Bones of Cincinnatus, trombones from Cincinnati, playing classics to rock. Our next announcement, September the 8th, 9th, and 10th will be our 41st Popcorn Festival in Marion, Ohio. So check your Google, find out what entertainment is going to be there, okay? So, my thought for today. Sorry, I didn't write it down, so now I got to pull it up again. But it's a good one, and it's titled Get Past Your Past. Let's move on to the future, right? Let's get past all that stuff. Let the past be the past, both my past and the past of others. There's no need to keep repeating the past in my head. Think. Whatever happened, happened. It's okay for me to move on. Let me be supportive and make it easy, not difficult for myself and others. When I stay in the present, everything is pleasant. Let us remember that, because we want things to be pleasant. We want our life to be pleasant. We want to be at peace. And we want to enjoy the new things that God has placed in our lives. So let us move on from the past. It's where it should be, behind us, right? We're going to move forward. Now, at this time, let me turn my attention to my guest today, Jeff Porter. How are you, Jeff?
Hello. I'm fine today. Doing pretty good.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good
have
to
you
see
back?
You too.
Yes, thank you. And have you back in the studio?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a great thing.
Yes, it is.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Jeff and I, he's the author. The name of his book are called Expressions of the Last Days, and we've just been going through his book. You can purchase his book through, let them know, Jeff.
Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Just type in the title.
Expressions of the Last Days, and we're just kind of go through it. It's a quick read, and it's a good read. It's very informative, and we had just gone over a few of the titles he had talked about, and I think we left off with apologetics and how important apologetics is to Christians. And we left off with this thought: apologetic researchers are seeking to equip people with all the knowledge and materials they can wage war against this landslide of sin and wrong philosophies that fight to control the minds and hearts of every person on this earth. Not just
right.
Some.
Yeah.
Every person on this earth.
That's right.
So we're all susceptible to being deceived.
Yeah, because Satan wants your allegiance. He wants your attention.
And he gets our attention to a certain extent. Now, we might not stay there, right?
Yes.
Some of us may be equipped.
It's like Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Right, even Peter.
Yeah.
Even Peter.
So Satan was able to influence him.
Right. And Judas.
Yeah.
Who betrayed Christ, he was able to possess him.
Yeah.
He entered him, you know.
Yeah, that's scary.
That is scary, but it lets us know that it is reality. It can
yes.
happen. And possibly does happen, because you know, even when Jesus was on the earth, he expelled many demons from people.
I don't think Judas was born again. That's what the problem was. He never really accepted Jesus into his heart. I think, and a lot of theologians and researchers think that what Judas wanted to do was, he thought Jesus was here to help overthrow the Romans. And Jesus couldn't seem to get it across to him that that's not what his mission was.
Mm-hmm.
He's not here to physically start up a big battle with the Romans, but to convert people's hearts to Christ, you know, to himself. But Judas never really accepted that.
Right, right. And just like, you know, when it came down to paying allegiance and they wanted to trip Christ up with that question.
Yeah.
You know, who should I pay allegiance to, you or to Caesar, right?
Yeah.
And what was his response?
He said, that's my...
That's you?
Should have left it in the car.
Oh.
They handed him a coin.
Okay.
Let that get done. I keep forgetting I was going to leave it in the car, and I forgot to do that. But I picked the nicest times to call me. I get no calls all day except for when I'm doing something like this.
Right.
Okay. They handed him a coin, and on one side was Caesar's face, his head, or whatever, and said, who do we give allegiance to, you know, Caesar or to God, you know? And Render unto Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. In other words, pay your taxes. And unto God that which is God's. You know, in other words, you know, and give your, whatever you're going to give to God, give that to him. So that was a perfect answer. You know.
It was.
Yeah. Right. It's absolutely perfect. I thought that was cool.
What was that?
It means
got
I
your
got
phone,
a
message.
Yeah, it means I got a message.
Harmonica, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. That was kind of cool, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. Okay. Learn something new every day.
Every day.
Oh, boy. Okay, now I'm on page 57 now. I've kind of moved on a little bit. Look cool. False religions also try to make a favorable impression in the public eye.
That's right.
The missionaries wear nice clothes and are taught how to present their cultic views to unsuspecting folks by trying to look like squeaky clean Christians themselves. And out of all the deceptions, do you think this is one of the most targeted against and effective toward Christians?
Yeah, and you know, there are, and you might say, you know, you said Christians. The thing is, you know, a lot of our churches are so dead and don't teach anything that is needed there to help you fight off deceit or anything like that. That they become like wallpaper, and so when the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses come to their door, they're like, oh. You know, they find something that seems to have power and fire to it.
Right.
You know, and joy and love and everything.
Right.
So they get sucked into it, you know. And, you know, Satan's no dummy. He knows how to put on a deception so that you'll be more acceptable to you. You got to have enough knowledge and enough love of God in you to fight that off.
Yeah, because... even though we have a lot of churches in America, what could the church do that they're not, maybe not doing, to kind of silence the voice of false beliefs and false religion?
You know as well as I do that we need the outpouring and baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we need revival in our hearts and minds and in our churches and so on. And so... receiving the outpouring and baptism of the Holy Spirit is a very important step in there. And then also not hating and despising knowledge that God gives you, you know. So, problem is that even the reliable apologists out there, some of them have fallen. And so, you know, you're getting wrong stuff from them, so you have to rely on you doing the reading and you doing the praying and researching a lot
right.
of times.
Because, you know, the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all mankind unto me.
Yeah.
So that's more or less saying that he's not really being lifted up by the church.
No. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Because we're the ones supposed to be lifting him up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't even think of that. I always
just
think of Moses
mind.
Running around with that snake on the
yeah,
end of a pole.
Yeah, that
you
too.
Know.
Right, look yeah. up. And people wouldn't even look up.
No. And but, be healed.
Yeah, and they would be bitten by those snakes and killed and die.
Ugh.
But those that looked up were saved.
Yeah.
Wow. So the church has to get louder about drawing, you know, lifting up.
They
Christ.
Need to be more truthful.
And loving.
Yes.
One another.
You know, sometimes when I've been in church, I felt like I was surrounded by an iceberg or something, you know. They just, very unresponsive.
Yeah, it can be like that, so... if
I understand they're human.
Oh, yeah, we all yeah. are. We all are. We're not perfect, and we're not going to be perfect. And we want people to understand that, too, at least. I'm the least of anybody being perfect.
Yeah, me too.
I make mistakes every day. Sometimes I forget how to even get on the radio. So. or to tape my show. You know, I always forget something, so I'm not perfect, you know. And but I do love people, and I love the fact that I can speak to people, and they can hear whatever the Lord has for me to share with them, you know. But I do try to lift him up, give him all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise for who he is, period. Yeah. In my life, in your life, in anybody's life, you know, because there's only one God. All these false people, religions coming up saying that their God is the God. Now, what God are they talking about? you know?
Well, I had a guy ask me, you know, so why should I go with Christianity? I mean, all these other religions make similar claims and claim to be the right religion. Why should I pick Christianity as my religion?
Right. Because there are options out there.
Yeah. But Jesus said in John 14:6, what did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father
except
but by me. Well, how could he make that claim? Well, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Jesus makes the claim that he is the only way.
The truth and the life.
And he's the only one that can forgive sins.
Yes.
So,
You know, no man can come unto Christ except the Father draw them by his Spirit. He has to draw them. Oh, there is a scripture that really breaks that down when you talk about draw a person. It's almost like being serenaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a people going out and want to date, serenade one another, or the guy serenades the woman in such a way like, I've been attentive to her or talking to her and things like that. And the Father draws. Mm-hmm. You can't even go to Christ unless he draws you. So it's not like, well, I'm going to get up and go to Christ. If you can say that and you're going to do that, then God the Father has placed this in your mind and in your spirit to do. Isn't it funny how we do nothing on our own? Nothing.
Yeah, I thought about it after I got saved. I thought, it's strange that I have this desire to get out there and do things for Christ, whereas I had no such thought before I got saved. There was nothing there like that. It was totally disinteresting.
Right. It's like, I want to get up and go to the store. I think I will. But if the Lord bless and say the same, I will go to the store. You know, and he wants to be acknowledging everything we do.
Yeah.
And we so think we can just get up, run around, and do what we want to do. And then we have a bad outcome. Then we're like, well, why did the Lord let this happen? Well, you didn't include him in the first place, right? To help you do certain things.
Well, you know, I love to listen to Charles Stanley. And the other day he was talking about, you know, sometimes when you're going through a calamity or a fire in your life or something, you think that God is punishing you. But actually what he's doing most of the time is molding us into the person he wants us to be so he can use us more.
Okay.
You know?
Right. Right. To be acceptable and open.
He might chastise you about something, but the fires we go through, that's what molds us. Changes us.
Now this word for draw says to pull or to drag.
Yeah.
To pull or to drag us to Christ, you know. That's when he said, you know, go out into the hedges and the highways and byways and compel people to come in. That has the same meaning. Beg them. Do whatever you have to do to get them, you know, to compel them.
That's just
pull.
Like, you know, that parable there where he says, you know, my son is going to get married, so send out all kinds of invitations. And nobody came of his friends and family and people that attended that palace. So he said, all right, fine, go out to the highways and byways and get people, and they'll come in to get a free meal, for one thing.
Right, feed people.
Yeah.
Feed them, just like the word of God, you know.
Go somewhere else and get people. If my friends and family here don't want to pay any attention, then I'll go get somebody else.
Jeff, what do you say about false date setting? You said many times false teachers are also overly concerned about the book of Revelation in the last days. This is to put fear in the hearts of their followers to keep control of their will.
Right.
Sometimes false teachers will make up a date for the end of the world, but Jesus said in Matthew 2:4-36, what did he say?
No man knows the day or the hour. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Okay.
So, Jehovah's Witnesses did that. I don't know if they're still doing that, predicting the end of the world at such and such a date that never happens.
Yeah. You know? A lot of people have been known. Yeah.
I remember one time, people were talking about this guy that was going around putting pamphlets on people's car under their windshield wipers, saying that the rapture was going to take place at September something. And I went into a store somewhere and people were talking about that, and I was trying to explain to them Matthew 24:36, mm-hmm. And they just kind of ignored that, like they wanted to believe that was the end, you know. And I said, this is what the Word of God says.
Right.
This is not Jeff Porter's opinion.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they got to pay attention to, is what the Word says.
Right.
Nowhere, it says it discourages any date setting, because you know how God is. You'll get up one day and you think, oh man, today's the day of that court appearing I got to make, and I'm dead. They're going to kill me in there. And then God turns it around all in your favor.
Right.
Well, you didn't expect that. You know, and that's the way God likes to operate. He likes to be mysterious.
Yes. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Well, like you said, none of us can explain his ways or understand
them. No.
You know, so we can't say
my thoughts are not your thoughts.
No. Nor are my ways your ways.
That's right.
My thoughts and ways are higher than yours. And of course, he's God.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they be higher?
Yeah, much higher.
Of course we can't understand him, no matter how hard we try, right?
Right, because God operates in another dimension.
So, all the date setters are false.
Yes.
And liars.
Yeah.
Remember 2012? Remember they said?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting movie, though.
But it was a concept that was out there.
Yeah.
That the world was going to end in
2012. And a lot of people believed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember it seems like a whole bunch of people always believe it when they do some date setting. You know, oh, this had to do with the Incas, and they were so wise and, you know, knowledgeable about the stars and everything, you know.
Yeah. Now, you say the church is in a crisis. What do you mean by that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I was talking mostly about the false doctrines that have come into the church. We've got an awful lot of tradition in the church lately that I think is, you got to be more flexible than that. Like when I was talking about pre-tribulation rapture. Well, some of this stuff, it's not written in stone. You know, a lot of it's just your own opinion. Because, and I've had people point scriptures out to me, but they're not absolute. You know, and I say, they won't even think of the possibility that there may not be a pre-tribulation rapture, because that's what the church has been teaching all these years. But we can't just go by church tradition, as we should have found out a long time ago. You know, Paul tried to tell him about that. You know, when he was preaching to the Jews about Christ, can you imagine?
Well, you don't find too many churches even preach about Paul, do you?
I don't know. They don't. You mean they don't use him for an example?
He was sent to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Right.
But the word faith movement, the prosperity movement, is the big crisis, as far as I'm concerned. You know.
Right. And these false doctrines. That's huge.
And it's so all weird. Over the world.
Yeah, and you really expound on that a lot in your book about the false teachings, the false doctrines, the church in a crisis, and they're teaching the commandments of men instead of the doctrines of God.
Right, exactly.
Like you said, well, my grandma said it was in the Bible and is not in the Bible.
I don't know how many times I've heard it. I remember driving the bus and hearing people talk about before the year 2000 came along. They said, oh, the Bible says that the world's going to end in 2000. And I said, where does it say that? I don't know, but my grandfather said that, and it's in there somewhere. And I said, well, you know, before I believe that, you're going to have to show me where it is, you know. And well, I don't know where it is, but it's in there somewhere. That was their whole defense.
Oh, yeah. And it's too bad that, well, it's not too bad, but we're not supposed to, like the Bible says, don't be tossed to and fro by any wind of doctrine. Everything you hear, you believe it in. Everything you see, you're ready to run to it, thinking that it's God.
Well, I had a lady tell me a while back, she said, my God doesn't judge. You know, when you're in this world, he doesn't put any condemnation on anybody. I said, where did you get that idea? She said, oh, that's the way it is. Well, she got that from church. Because people don't want to hear anything negative. All of Christianity is just a big tiptoe through the tulips. You know. But it's not.
No.
And you wake up every day, just turn on the news. Things are a bit different from that. Tiptoe through the tulips stuff. You know. Okay, any more questions?
Yeah, let's go. The Word of Faith movement. As we went along, we began to understand the beginnings of a new doctrine floating around in Christianity. And big time at PTA, I was at Praise the Lord, called affectionately the prosperity doctrine. It's
got a lot of different names.
Right. It is known now by several names: health and wealth, the Word of Faith movement, name it and claim it, the signs and wonders movement. It claims that by following certain faith formulas, a Christian can become perpetually healthy and wealthy and never have to face hardships of poverty again. And what is wrong with that concept, Jeff?
Well, just I guess I'm just gonna have to throw in the towel because I've been gone through a lot of sickness as a Christian. You know, ended up in the hospital quite a bit. So I guess I wasn't following the Word of Faith formula very good. So, you know, what good am I? I mean, health and wealth. Okay, are we supposed to be seeking after money and wealth as a Christian? What are we supposed to be seeking after?
Christ.
Yeah. What he wants in our life.
Yeah, Christ. I mean, and he adds those things, just like he told Solomon.
Yeah.
You know, David said, you're going to be king. And all Solomon asked Christ for was wisdom.
Yeah.
To know how to govern and rule his people, Israel. And God said, because you haven't been selfish and you ask me of these things, I will give you wisdom and wealth that has never been seen before.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
They said, there is yet a man to surpass the riches of Solomon.
And what did it do for him?
Well, I think he had a woman problem.
Yeah. Slightly.
500 wives and 200 concubines.
Well, I was talking about that, too. You know how Satan will try to tempt you into a bad relationship or many. Did you ever hear about Ravi Zacharias?
No, I don't think so.
Have you heard of him?
Hmm.
Not everybody knows about him. He's dead. He just died not too long ago, a couple years ago, maybe. And I used to really enjoy listening to him. You know, I looked him up on the web, and he's written several books. Well, after he died, people came forward and they showed that He had brothels everywhere, and he was involved with probably over 1,000 women worldwide, and just totally corrupted as far as his romantic life is concerned, you know. And there were so many people that talked on YouTube and stuff that were so hurt and disappointed by him because before he got saved, he was a guru.
You okay. Know?
And he was a good example of a person that used to think he was a god, you know, and then got saved. But Satan was able to tempt him and draw him into a bunch of sexual situations. And nobody seemed to know anything about it till after he was dead. But he had all kinds of massage parlors and prostitute houses and places where he just met women and
got caught up, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I wouldn't want to be in his shoes.
But there's still repentance and turning away from doing what's wrong, right?
Well, yeah. I'm not sure he did that.
I hope so.
But yeah, I think we've all been to the point where, well, like, sex is very enticing, you know. And if a person of the opposite sex has got the looks and the stuff we like, then it's really tough. You have to get back in prayer, get your mind renewed to keep
Amen.
From getting involved with that person.
That's the time when you say, help me.
Yeah.
Lord, help me. I need your help.
Deliver me, Lord.
Absolutely. The next major problem is our definition of faith. Faith is viewed in this context as a force like electricity or fire. It is supposed to have substance in the physical realm like any other force.
Yeah. The force of faith. That's what Kenneth Copeland says.
Okay.
We gotta enjoy the force of faith. And that's, you know, and that kind of goes along with Jehovah's Witnesses too. They say that faith is like a radar beam or something like that. It's got power, you know. But for us who are born again, follow after Christ, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're just trusting Christ for
right.
whatever we're supposed to be doing. And that's what you got to do is put your trust in Him, and that is faith. You know, you get into a bad situation, God's going to teach you to trust Him.
Right. Mm-mm-mm. Wow.
Not to use the force of faith to knock down walls or anything.
True. It can be, you know, I was thinking that, and probably speaking it, sometimes we as Christians can be so into the Word of God and memorizing scriptures and putting our faith out there and able to recite and touch and lay hands on people for healing and things like that. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and think that we're God and we can just do these things, you know, because we have so much of the Word in us, you know, but still there's a limit to that.
I'm sure you've run into some arrogant Christians before.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even hardly talk to them. You know.
You know what? A good during COVID.
Yeah.
Many Christians thought that they could cast down that COVID and all that was going on in the name of Jesus Christ, but they had no power over it.
Yeah.
None. No power over it. That was a prime example.
And you'd think they'd give up the prosperity doctrine when they find out it doesn't work. You know.
Then they got down to the point and said, well, this is not God. Well, nothing goes on in this world or universe that He does not allow. It just will not happen.
Yeah.
It will not happen if He does not allow it. So, and He says, you do well when you begin to see me in everything. He has a part in everything.
Well, I was talking to this nurse one time at Marion General. She said, blah, 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 you could die. And I said, I'm not going to live one more day than Jesus says. You know, if Jesus allows me to live, There's not much the doctors can do about it. You know, if he wants me to die, then there's not much the doctors can do about it.
And it's like, why would you pronounce evil on me anyway, of all things? God does not hear those type of prayers.
Yeah.
You know, or are you trying to text Satan on me? You know,
yeah.
Why would you do such a thing? Now, I don't even know if I could call her a Christian if she's doing things like that.
Well, I don't think she was a Christian.
Mm-mm-mm. Spitting out
words
like that.
There were other things she did that were not very Christian.
Okay.
Well, I had a real interesting episode with her. She was sitting there talking to me and being friendly. We're all friends and everything. Then about, she went back there to talk to somebody and came back, and then she was all hostile and everything. So I think what happened was she ran into somebody that didn't like me and was talking about me back there. So that persuaded her that I'm bad then.
Oh, okay. Okay. And that shouldn't be allowed either. If there's a person you don't like, let that be between you and that person.
Yeah.
Don't just share that with other people.
You have to go around spreading rumors about them.
Right. Assassinating other people's characters.
Yes.
That's what they call that.
Yes.
You know, character assassination. And we should not. Well, God tells us.
But you know, if you don't do what people want you to do, a lot of times, there's a couple of nurses there that were interested in me. And I said, I tried to explain to them that God has spoken to my heart that I have to wait until he brings the right person into my life. And if that means he never does, I know he's going to.
Right.
But if that means he never does, I'll be able to live with that. Now, there was a time when I would have been mad about that.
Right.
But not anymore.
You've grown up now, right?
Yeah. So I had one of the nurses come in, because you know how many times I was in the hospital this year.
Yes.
Already. And she said, I just got a personal question for you. You don't have to answer me if you don't want to. She said, but are you gay?
She did.
Yeah. Now, what I like to say about that is, are we going to base our society? It's almost like we're a bunch of animals. Hmm. You know, base our society on sexual attraction or being repelled by somebody because of sexual, not interested in, because they're ugly or something. Is that what we're going to base our life on in this society? Is a bunch of animal stuff? The desires of the flesh?
Hmm.
See, Christianity tries to get us away from that. It gets to focus on God and the love of God.
Right.
You know, not on sexual hot breathing or something, you know? We're supposed to follow after God as Christians. Now, I realize that the person I was talking to probably isn't a Christian. You know, but on the other hand, might be. You know,
right.
Because I'm not married, I don't have a girlfriend, and I'm not showing any interest in the females around me. So that confuses them, because that's what they think about.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true. Can be. So she asks you, are you gay?
Yeah. I said, no, I'm not gay. I hope that doesn't disappoint somebody.
Oh, our time is almost up. We have 9 minutes. Let me get through this kind of quickly. I'm enjoying this conversation.
But I mean, it's very animal-like, if you think about it.
That's true. Well, now we're going to get to the end of the scripture, your book, because you talk about the Antichrist and... Let me see, on page 132. I hope y'all are enjoying Jeff. Should have called in and asked him a question.
Yeah. Where are all you people? Maybe when we switch over to the other system, maybe we'll get some calls.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe it's too much for him today, Jeff. We'll have to bring
it
down.
It's too much for him every day.
Wow, I'm having fun, though.
I am, too.
Fun. Okay, now let me see. 132. Where was I at? Oh, you said, I heard the jailer behind the desk say that they were going to let him out.
Oh, well, this was about the robot, where the Antichrist turns into a robot, which would really be the image of the beast, you know, where he Well, you'd have to back up and talk and read that whole thing about where the...
Okay.
Where he is jailed because he went into a room and shot a bunch of people, so they put him in jail, and then the jailer let him out. So, can you find that?
Yeah, you want me to read it all?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, should I start at, he took no thought for anyone, or two things happened almost. That's quite a bit, though, I think. I dreamed small room.
Yeah.
Can I cut through the chase?
Yeah, I guess so. If do what you want to do.
Okay. Anyway, you do say he took no thought for anyone. He killed old people, women, and children in a murderous, merciless rage. People were screaming and running, but there was no place to go. He was blocking the only exit. Finally, I decided I had had enough. When he was looking and shooting in another direction, I grabbed the gun from him. Knowing how to operate an M16 from the Army, I dropped the clip and looked at it. There were only three bullets left. I quickly jammed the clip back into the gun, set the selector switch on semi-automatic, and fired the three bullets into the man. Two of the bullets landed square in his head and one in his chest. I saw his blood splatter against the wall behind him. But to my amazement, it only stunned him. I was shocked and confused, but before I could figure out what had happened, the scene changed. I find myself walking down a long corridor of what I knew was a prison. I finally ended up in a room dimly lit and bland, everything in gray and drab colors. The atmosphere of that room was so oppressive, I could hardly stand it. When I looked around, I saw a man standing behind a desk, and I knew he was the warden or the jailer. When I turned back around, I saw the young man standing in a cell behind bars about an arm's length from me. I asked the young man, "Why don't you repent?" He just smiled, looked at me with contempt, and said, "You know I can't do that." Suddenly, I knew the little girl was right. He was the Antichrist. I also knew then that to think I could stop him was carnal. Weapons like guns was vanity. The incident in the room came clear to me then. I knew the Antichrist would be killed and then raised from the dead, as in Revelation 13:3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. It also came to me that he was nothing more than a murderer and a criminal. He would be the worst human being that ever lived. He cared for nothing except his own selfish desires and ambitions to take over the world. I hated him. I heard the jailer behind the desk say that they were going to let him out. I became angry and yelled at him that this man was the Antichrist and a murderer. I told him that I was one of the few people who were left from that room who witnessed his killing an innocent woman, women, and children with his own eyes. The jailer just laughed and told me that this could not possibly be and that the young man in there was only being held for questioning. He was known in the community as a good person and was a well-respected and fine, upstanding citizen of the community.
Yep. And that's the way false prophets are quite often portrayed.
Wow.
They're, oh, fine citizens of the community. You know, they do a lot of good things. So you can't determine whether a person knows God or not because of their actions, really.
Right.
Not all of them.
So, in other words, you're saying this to have people understand how widely accepted the Antichrist will be when he appears on the earth.
And how they'll think he's just so wonderful.
And the Bible says the whole world, except for those, will follow him, except for those names who are written in the Book of Life.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, people, there is a book with your name written in it.
Yeah.
And just pray that it's written in the Book of Life.
Yeah. You better make sure that you're in the Book of Life.
Yes, the Book of Life.
I mean, you know, God, when you're standing before him and he's flipping through that those books, and he's, I just don't see your name in here.
Right, right. Wow.
Oh, that's not good.
That's a good book, Jeff.
Well, thank you.
Real good book. Real good book. So I suggest that people get on Amazon.com and find Jeff Porter's book, Expressions of the Last Days. Good read, quick read. Something that you can buy for other people.
Yeah.
For birthdays or holidays coming up. Christmas is coming soon, believe it or not. It's right around the corner. And don't forget what's going on this weekend in Caledonia, August the 20th, 4 p.m., Marion Area Strings. George Schramm is the conductor. Mark your calendars for the Popcorn Festival that's coming up September 8th, 9th, and 10th. And don't forget the Popcorn Parade that they really present before the opening of the Popcorn Festival. That would be downtown Marion. It begins at 6 p.m. Usually it starts down East Center Street and comes down through town and around the corner and around the bend. But hopefully it won't rain or be cold, because it's definitely getting colder in the mornings. You know,
it feels like September. October.
Yeah,
you know?
Late September. And I think that's because we had all that hot weather. June, July, right?
I don't remember August ever being this cold.
No, I don't think so either. August is our hottest month and most humid, but we already had that.
Yeah.
It already came.
That's true.
It already came, so. Thank you for listening to A Voice of the People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And we want to say thank you to our guest, Jeff Porter. Thanks again,
Jeff. Thank you. Always glad to be on here.
Glad to have you. Don't forget to download free app on any electronic device called TuneIn, which you can find in your Play Store, and search WWGH. And don't forget, you always have the opportunity to call in with questions. Live broadcast, 740-383-9944. Okay, so tune in tomorrow, 10:15, Cheryl Lee from Child's Evangelism Fellowship, one of a longtime supporters. She will be on from 10:15 until 12 noon. So hopefully you will tune in again. And hopefully you enjoyed our show, and it will not be your last time listening to A Voice of the People live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel like, you know, fast foods have ruined the world. Oh. On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big burger thing where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid,